result of this transplant. So three rhemas about what his marrow is doing. That's what I'm talking to you tonight. Our home scripture is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." Key verse for us is, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Verse 7 is just like unto verse 6. "Be not wise in thine own eyes, and you'll end up fearing the Lord, and you will depart from evil." But the key is, be not wise in thine own eyes. Then it becomes this: "It shall be health to thy navel," that's your umbilical cord, "unto God," unto Christ, "and marrow to thy bones." You will be fully and thoroughly developed as a child of God, as a man, a woman of God. You will be fully developed because there is a marrow transplant that takes place. Now, in the last few weeks, if you haven't heard the messages, you need to tap in, because there's medical history, medical instructions about what the marrow transplant is all about. And there's information that you need in order to really understand this. We learned on Sunday that God was speaking to us in a phenomenal parable about marrow transplants. And we saw on Sunday that it was a parable. It's a similitude to what's really happening in the realm of the spirit and in our natural. And so God gave us a similitude. So tap into Sundays and you'll get that understanding. I don't have the time to go back on it. But just understand that as long as you're in a place of acknowledging him in every way that you're living, you are under a marrow transplant. But on Sunday, we learned about the aftercare, the importance of the aftercare of the transplant. Every time you're in the rhema, you've had a transplant. Transplants are very simple. We learned on Sunday also, it's simply a needle. It's the needle, and the donor's cells are in the needle through the blood. Their red cells, the white cells are in that blood, and it gets shot into your pelvic bone mostly, and that's key, and you're going to understand why in a moment. It gets shot into the pelvic bone, and that starts a whole new transplant or exchange, your marrow for the donor's marrow. And in this case, our donor is Christ the Lord, God our Father, and we're getting his life for our life. And that's what's really happening, all right? But we learned about the aftercare. We learned that the first 100 days are majorly important, that the patient has to go in 2 to 3 times a week for the first 100 days. Imagine that. We're supposed to stay in it 3 times a day. And look at the similitude, that the aftercare has to be there. Otherwise, you're not going to end up moving in the Zoe or the life of God. It's as simple as that. You'll keep getting transplants, and then it won't keep. You got to make sure that it fuses, and that's why the aftercare was important. Again, go back and listen to Sundays, and you'll get all of that. It was phenomenal.
Yes,
so now, amen. The fact is, the marrow transplant of Christ won't fuse without continuing the word we've heard. So tonight, we will see three things that are factually taking place, or is going to take place due to the transplant adhering and fusing together. All right. The first prophetic, and this is so profound, the first prophetic thing that's taking place is we are truly being changed. I know some of you are saying, "Oh, we already know that," but let me show you in a rhema about the change that's really taking place. We go back to a scripture that we were dealing with not too long ago in our peace series here. And it was about Jacob and how the Lord touched the hollow of his thigh. And we're going to look at this and see the prophetic happening behind it. All right. This is so profound here. It says, and when in verse Genesis 32 and 25, it says, "And when he saw that he prevailed not against him," talking about the angel or talking about God wrestling with Jacob himself, this is what he saw. He saw that he didn't prevail against Jacob. He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. I just told you, in the midst of a transplant, they look for the pelvic bone, all right? and they shoot the donor's blood into the pelvic bone so that the blood cells, the red and the white blood cells, can begin to fuse in and really change out the marrow of someone that has unhealthy marrow. And for
Amen.
you that haven't been on the line, the purpose of healthy marrow is living, period. The quality of life is determined by healthy marrow. So now God touches the hollow of Jacob's thigh. And in a study, we found out that the hollow of the thigh is actually the pelvic bone. Imagine that. God touched the pelvic bone of Jacob. Remember, Jacob's name meant trickster or deceiver. So God touches the place of the pelvic bone. And what God was saying to us prophetically is, I took that out of joint is because I was about to change Jacob into Israel.
Amen.
And prophetically, it touches the same area that the marrow goes into for our transplant. So
Yes.
what God did with Jacob was disconnect Jacob from himself. So now
Amen.
Jacob, trickster, deceiver, could no longer lean on his old ways. The Bible says he had to lean on God. So now when God is so in the transplant here, this particular verse is pointing to real change. We see Jacob shortly after that, and I didn't take down all the scriptures, but you can read the story. Jacob then gets instructions from the Lord about what to do, about giving his substance over to his brother and sowing a seed and giving into that. And this is Jacob now no longer deceiving, but moving in God and what God is saying. So now that was the aftercare. And then shortly after that, his name is changed to Israel. So now we see God touching an area here prophetically where we've been learning that God is touching to where the transplant takes place, the pelvic bone. Jacob is out of joint. God's trying to change his name, trying to change his character. So now Jacob's no longer leaning on himself, leans on God. Change is starting to happen, does the aftercare in the next couple of chapters. Then all of a sudden, his name is Israel. Why? Because Jacob undergone, he went underwent a marrow transplant, if you
Amen.
will.
Amen. Amen.
And God's marrow transplant in us as we continue to stay in the rhema word is going to bring an absolute change. And I said this, I was fellowshipping with Elder Donna and Elder Allison, and I said this to him. I said, you know, it's funny, because when you get your mother's and your father's DNA, because that's what marrow produces, also in the marrow is found our DNA. When you get the attributes of your parents, like there are times I feel like my father, and I was not raised by my father. I was raised by my mother, but there are times I can feel my father in me. There are times when I feel my mother in me. I can't change that. I can't help that. It's there. That's who God used to put 50% from my mom, 50% from my father. All right. So what I'm saying is I can't change it. Never was raised by my dad, but they told me all my life I act just like him. I walk like him. And oh my God, my brothers would always say, oh my gosh, you remind me of dad right now. And I'd be like, don't say that, you know, because I just didn't want to be like my dad at the time, because I didn't see him. But I couldn't help it. I was becoming, even though he wasn't there. Why? Because his DNA was in my marrow, so his attributes was there, and my mom's are there. I feel like my mother when I'm just scrolling through my phone. I scroll the same way she scrolls, and I feel like her when I'm scrolling through my phone. And it's nothing that I tried to do. It just happens. What am I trying to say? When God changes your marrow, you're not going to try to act like God. You're going to be like God.
Yes,
It's going to be authentically there in
Hallelujah,
you. The
Jesus.
attributes of the Father are going to flow through your life. Jesus said it like this. It was so enveloped in him. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm doing everything he would do. I'm saying everything he would say. It's authentic. There's an authentic change that's taking place in us because there's a marrow transplant going
Bless
on.
God. Bless
Jacob
God.
was changed from Jacob to Israel. So the
Bless
Lord
God.
touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, The hollow of the thigh is also known as the pelvic bone, as I said. The pelvic bone, that bone stores more marrow than any other bone in your body. That's why they aim for the pelvic bone, because that's where it's going to really change the marrow. The red cells, the white cells, and the platelets get changed by aiming for the place that stores up the most. So now it starts to saturate through all of the marrow, but coming typically through the pelvic bone. Same awesome. Bone that God took out of place with Jacob.
Hallelujah, Lord God. Bless God.
So he disconnected Jacob from himself, from the old man. He started a marrow transplant. Jacob then stays in aftercare of the transplant and is soon named Israel. Why? Because he underwent a change. He had power with God. Now, Israel means now he went from trickster to Israel, which means power with God and power with man. His whole makeup changed. So I'm telling you, this is an authentic change going on. It's nothing that you're going to have to do. You're not going to have to try to mimic God. It's going to flow from your marrow, praise God.
Bless God.
It's going to flow right out of you. Prophetess wrote about it. The power of the inside is going to be proven on the outside. It's going to flow. And it's nothing that you're trying to do at all. I remember when I was first, I was so saturated in the word. I was single and I was just saturated. I went to the grocery store, and I've shared this over the years a few times. And I this really came out of my mouth, and I was dead serious, if you don't mind my saying. An old woman was in front of me in the grocery store, and she was taking a long time. And she was putting her items up there, and I was just standing behind her, just waiting. She looked at me. She was an older Caucasian woman. And she looked up at me, and she said, "Young man." I said, "Yes." She said, "You have such patience." And out of my mouth, I didn't plan this. What I said was, I said, "My father is glorified." And I didn't plan it. It just was my response.
Mm-hmm.
And she just smiled at me. But it was really there. Patient. I wasn't trying to be patient. It was just flowing out of me.
Mm-hmm.
It was just in my DNA. And at the time, I was about 21, 22 maybe. I wasn't married yet, so I was definitely under 24. So I'm a young man, and young people like that age don't have patience for that mess. But it just was flowing out of me. It wasn't because my mom and dad trained me, because that's not their attribute. Patience is the attribute of God. It's a fruit of his spirit, which you already know.
Amen.
So what I'm saying is, there's a real change taking place. We are really changing. It's touching, no, not just the spirit. I have learned something here. The reason why God is changing our marrow is because so often we get a spiritual fix, and it changes our mind in the moment of the word. But what will change you for good after you're not hearing the word is the word entering into your marrow and changing it. See, you're under the word, so you act right. You're still under the word maybe an hour or two after, but Satan comes there immediately and then steals and tries to take it. And all of a sudden, before the word, here it comes, your same actions. But if God is able to get into your marrow, he'll change you from the inside out.
Yes, he will.
And you won't have to just sit under the rhema to be under control and to feel his peace and to feel his temperance. No, it'll be in your DNA coming from your marrow. That's a whole nother level.
Bless
Glory
God.
Be to God. 1 Peter 1:23 it confirms it really well. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Watch how it's happening. You're changing. You're being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So what was corruptible in your DNA and in your marrow is being changed. You're being born again. Ooh, glory be to God. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by, here's your key, the word of God. There it is. There's a real change. You're really being born again. If the more you stay in the Word, the more you become the born-again person that you were called to be. And you will come into the position of having God's DNA in you. Listen, Jesus, when I didn't expect to say all this, but when Jesus was here on earth, people of God, you got it was the sperm of the Father. It was the physical seed, the physical sperm of the Father that entered into Mary and impregnated her. Jesus really had the bone marrow of God. When we're born again, we undergo this wonderful transformation. Amen. By the word of God. You got to really think about that, Salah. So God will really be flowing through you in an authentic manner. You won't have to try to act holy. You won't have to try to act good. You won't have to try to act like you're patient and peaceful. It'll be automatic.
Praise God.
So we are being born again by the seed of Christ. It's truly changing us unto them, and it's reaching our marrow. The once corruptible seed is being changed over to incorruptible. It's changing our DNA, both naturally and spiritually, people. Being denotes the process we are under. The word being denotes the process we are under. I'm going to say it to you again. The word being denotes the process we are under. The second rhema that God gave me that's taking place, and I take joy in this, that while I'm under this wonderful marrow transplant, and under the knowledge of it, I have an awareness of it, it actually reveals also that he's left the 99 for us. He left the 99, and this came when I was just in just talking to the Lord early one morning, and while I was in laying down, when I woke up this morning, I heard the Lord say, "My sheep hear my voice. Listen to this, and another they will not obey." I said, "Lord, if I'm one of your sheep, why do I still obey my own voice at times?" He replied, "This is why I left the 99 to come for you, because you weren't hearing me fully. Me changing, listen to this, me changing your marrow is the way I left the 99 for you." The fact that I'm changing your marrow is because I left the 99 for you. This is what he said to me. He said, "You will be changed to where you'll never miss my leading again. The revelation on your marrow transplant is me coming and gathering you unto myself. The day is vastly approaching that you won't ever follow another voice again." Because he said, "My sheep hear my voice," and that means that I'm a part of him. That means I'm of his fold. That means I have him in me. And I did question. I said, "Lord, if I'm your sheep, why in the world do I do some things that I tell myself to do?" You said that we won't listen. He said, "You're undergoing the transplant." I said, "Lord, I really feel that." And it made me feel good, because it also made me nervous, because there are times that I hear me and do me. I can tell the truth. I hear what I want to do and I do it. And it's not the way it's supposed to be. So first question, am I one of your sheep? Because you said, "My sheep hear my voice." He said, "The fact that you're understanding that you're under a marrow transplant is how I've left the 99 to come hear you." He said, "Because the one that left me stopped hearing me and wasn't hearing me fully. So he wandered, but I left to come get him." The revelation on marrow is God leaving the 99 to come and get you, to make you a complete hearer at all times. Let me show you. John 10, 1 through 5. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow,
Probably.
but will flee from him. Ooh, glory be to God. For they know not the voice of strangers. When the marrow gets so deep in you, you will not ever, ever. This is why Jesus was 100% accurate. It's because Jesus only knew, because it was only thing in him was God the Father. See, when you were born, the Bible says you were conceived. You were conceived in sin and shaped in iniquity. All right? So that was a part of you. So to hear a stranger's voice other than God was very normal. To hear counsel outside of God was very, you were born with it in your marrow. But the marrow transplant is going to take away that voice. You won't have that in you anymore. You won't thirst. Let's use another word. You won't thirst for anything outside of God again. You won't be duped or tricked by anything, by yourself or by any demonic voice or by anything outside of the will of God. The fact that God is calling you and giving you a revelation and changing your marrow from the inside, my goodness, man, you will be a part of the fold that only follows him. So God wants you to know what's happening now. He said, listen, anybody undergoing this marrow transplant, I left the 99 and I'm working with you.
Amen.
Don't you worry about what you're not perfect in yet. Don't you worry about what you aren't accomplishing yet. Don't you worry about still hearing another voice. Just keep doing the aftercare of the marrow transplant. Let this thing really adhere and fuse, and you will not follow another voice ever again.
Bless God.
But he wants you to know prophetically. And he's letting you know how much he loves you, hallelujah, by letting you know, I left the 99. I'm working with you. And I'm changing you so that you won't ever, ever wander again. I don't know about
Amen.
You, but that's a hallelujah moment.
Amen.
That's a bless God moment. To let
yes,
you know that
hallelujah.
You're undergoing this transplant, and my goodness, he's watching over you. He's aiding you. He's doing the aftercare with you. In the medical report, we saw that the doctor wrote that he has his staff. The full staff is at the call of the patient. For the first 100 days, they're there working with the patient. That's God for you right now. The full staff, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are working with you to make sure this thing fuses right. Hallelujah. Because he's saying, you're never going to flee from me again. That was just a personal experience that I had, and a rhema that came
That's
out of
God.
That conversation.
Awesome.
And the third thing that's going to take place, and I think this is phenomenal. This one here just blew me away. All right, watch this here. His marrow is making us rapture ready, this transplant. All right, this is the transplant that makes you ready. And it came from fellowship with, again, Elder Donna and Elder Allison. And we were talking and it just dawned on me. Somebody said in the fellowship, bone of my bone. You're now bone of my bone. I said, wait a minute. I said, hold it now. That's really deep. Said, bone of my bone. And then she became flesh of his flesh. That's what Adam said to Eve when she was born. Actually, her name was Adam. Adam said to Adam when she was taken from his side and God created her from his rib. And he said, she is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. I saw something there. Let me show you what I saw. In Genesis 2, 22 and 23, it says, in the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones. That's same marrow there. They had that same marrow. Bone of bones means same marrow. That's why he called them Adam. They were exactly the same. And flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Only reason why she's called woman is not because she has different body parts. She was called woman because she was taken out of man. But in terms of the makeup, if you fast forward to the New Testament, the Lord told Paul that there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. There was no difference in terms of hierarchy or anything with Adam and Adam before she became Eve after the fall. Yeah. So they were bone, they had the same exact DNA, same exact marrow was flowing through both of them. All right. So watch this. So she became bone of his bone. But watch this now. As we're undergoing the marrow transplant of Christ, we are becoming bone of his bone. Yes, we are the bride of Christ. We're becoming bone of his bone. Amen. The next step, now watch this now. The next step would be to become flesh of his flesh, which makes total sense. This is what's going to happen as a result of the transplant, because you're staying in the word. The marrow of Christ is perfect. His marrow is taking all infections and all imperfections from out of us. What's really happening because of the transplant is he's preparing us to become flesh of his flesh. This means the rapture. After we're bone of his bone, we become flesh of his flesh. Let me show you what I'm talking about. He's preparing us here. Oh, you better realize this now. He's making us rapture ready. See, in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 54, it says, "Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this, watch this, for this corruption," oh, God help us here. See, you're being changed from the inside, but the fact that your flesh is still on the outside and that it's actually celestial, it's earthly, it still can be tainted and corrupted. But watch this. It says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption." That's becoming flesh of his flesh. "And this mortal must put on immortality." God help me. We're going to, oh, Jesus. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." So now there's a transfer. We're becoming bone of his bone by the marrow transplant. But the next step I'm trying to tell you now is becoming flesh of his flesh. That means we're putting on our heavenly suits. We're putting on, we're taking off mortality and putting on immortality. When he's finished with the marrow transplant, the next step is the rapture. Why? Because the transplant has perfected you from the inside. All of your infectious ways are out of you. You are rapture ready. Why not become flesh of his flesh? Just like Adam said to Adam when she was created. "That she is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Well, Jesus is about to say the same thing. "They are bone of my bone, Father. Send me so they can be flesh of my flesh." Let me give you one more example. 1 Corinthians, we pick up again, or we go up rather, 36 through 40. Listen to this here. "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die." Watch this now. "And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain." In other words, while the word is being sown into you, it's about to change. It's about to change. It says, listen, the body of the thing you're sowing is about to change. It's not going to always be in seed form, but it's going to bear something different. It might be wheat or some other grain, but the body is going to change. Listen, in verse 38, it says, "But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. And to every seed his own body." Listen, all flesh is not the same flesh, But there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also, listen, celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of celestial is one and the glory of terrestrial is another. What am I saying? That nothing unless it dies. The bone marrow of God is erasing our everything and he's coming in. We're dying. He's about to live from the marrow to the outside. And when this happens, listen, it says here that every seed, God gives it a body as it pleased him. So what's taking place? The celestial bodies that the word is being sown into will put on terrestrial bodies that live forever. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Are you guys with me?
Amen.
I'm telling you what's prophetically going to take place when this transplant is done. There's a shift coming. It's called the rapture. When God is thoroughly done putting his marrow in us, and that we're not living in the word off the top of our heads, but we're living through the marrow of our bones, that God is in us. Bone of his bone will become flesh of his flesh. It's sown as seed,
amen,
but then it becomes wheat. It's sown a seed of corn, but then it becomes an ear of corn. The seed that goes in the ground changes.
Yes.
That's what Paul is trying to teach here.
Yes.
The seed that's planted changes. It goes in one way as a seed, but changes. It bears a grain or wheat or some other grain, but it doesn't stay a seed. Well, the word that's going in you is changing you from the inside. You're becoming bone of his bone from the inside. And then the trump of God's going to sound, people.
Yes, God.
And we're going to become flesh of his flesh. It's just a prophetic overview of what's going to take place because of this marrow transplant. God is revealing something here. He's revealing, my God, prophetically saying to us, when I'm done with this, we're done. We're finished. I'm going to let you walk around in my glory for a while. But then you're going to become flesh of my flesh. I'm calling you home. The rapture, the trump of God will sound. And if God is revealing a marrow transplant, and he's revealing what's going on the inside, and how he's going to totally perfect us, how close are we really? And how important is it now to do the aftercare after you've heard the word so that this marrow transplant can fuse?
Amen. Amen.
Stop being that person that Amen, is always God. Getting a transplant on Thursdays, on Sundays. Don't be that person. Just continue to let the word that comes on. I hear you, Holy Ghost. Let the word. He just said, let the word that comes on Thursdays and Sundays and prayer on Tuesdays. Let that be aftercare. But don't let it have to be the transplant all over again. In other words, stay in study.
Yes. Amen.
Do the aftercare. Do it. If they had to do it for the first 100 days, just do it until this thing fuses, until you got God just permeating out of you. You watching a football game on TV and you can still lay hands and watch somebody recover. Why? Because it's not off the top of your head. It's flowing out of your bones. Hallelujah.
Amen, God.
So you see, we can't put on terrestrial Amen, bodies Jesus. Until our old body is dead. The marrow transplant is killing us and causing Christ to live. Then God will give us a new body. He'll give us new bodies, flesh of his flesh, as it pleases him. Every seed will have its own body. He's making it again another by the power of the rhema word. It's now reaching the marrow in us. If this isn't describing elevated peace, Again, I don't know what is. I don't think there's any greater peace than being raptured. Jesus.
Amen.
No tears in heaven, people of God. Ain't nobody crying in heaven at all. Every problem, everything that was off is fixed in every way. Now that's elevated peace at its finest there. Doesn't mean we're done with the series yet. I'm pulling on God. He's already started moving me to the next fruit, though. I'm going to let you in on a little Easter egg. He started already ministering to me on why this next fruit connects perfectly here. So I'm not sure how much longer we're going to be in this. Get what you need to get. Get yourself in line. Start the aftercare. You just heard a word. Begin your aftercare if you haven't. And let this thing totally adhere and be fused together in you. Let Jesus live entirely. Let him live. He's trying to live in you. And I mean really wants to live in you. Amen. Well, that's all I got for you guys tonight. Those are three prophetic things that are happening as a result of this marrow transplant. All right. He's leaving the 99. All right. We're becoming rapture ready people. He's leaving the 99. That's the second one we heard. And the first one we heard is we are truly being changed. So this is what's really going on and what's going to go on. But please let it be done in you. Do the aftercare that you learned about. And if you haven't learned about the aftercare, listen to Sunday's message again. But that's it for tonight, guys. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the anointing that comes as a result of your word. We thank you for the way that you challenge us. We thank you for the way that you reveal to us what you're doing. We have edus. We have prepared roads. We understand exactly what's taking place. We're encouraged to know that you did leave the 99 to come and get us, to explain to us that I want to change your marrow, that you become consistent hearers of my voice, and another's you will not follow.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we give you glory.
Thank
to
you,
see
Lord.
That we're even being positioned to be raptured because of what we're undergoing by this exchange. Oh, Master, how beautiful it is to understand that we're being changed into a whole new character, truly the character of Christ, our Lord. We're being changed. Our names are going to change. We're going to have similitudes. We're going to be carbon copies of who you are. And it's happening from the inside out. And I'm blessed to know this. Glory be to God. There's major purpose behind this going on and staying in the knowledge of this here.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm grateful
yes, God.
That I'm not in the dark and we're not in the dark about what you are really doing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Help this mind to be in us, Lord God. Help us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Let this really take, Lord God, in the inner man, transformation.
Yes.
In the center of our being, which is the center of our bones, which is the place of marrow. You're changing us from there. So it's authenticated. I give you glory for it, Master. And I also say, keep on doing it until it's done.
Yes, God.
Don't stop until you've finished. I hold on to the fact that you said, if I started a work, I'm faithful and just to finish it.
You yes.
said
it. Thank you, Lord.
Finish this, Lord. Thank finish you. This. Do the aftercare that's necessary. We want a successful transplant. And we give you glory for it, Master.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus, your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.